Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Totally fooled. Completely fooled. You know, I mean, it is such a surprise that you're the guest host today. You know, in fact, I thought it was going to be Tony this morning, but good morning, and I'm doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing great. Well, you were just too easy, so April Fool's to you. So, well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the ultimate April Fool's, not just this radio show, and this ongoing struggle between good and evil, God and the devil. We will discuss one of the biggest misconceptions in the religious world is that God is a person with supernatural powers, which puts the search outside ourselves instead of within ourselves. We will look at some of the ways we go about finding God and getting lost in the realms of energy or thought. This show will review the physics of spirituality and the dynamics of duality as a practical guide for effective living, instead of something to believe in like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. So, Swami, get us started. What is the ultimate April Fool's?
Well, I think it really is. It's kind of, we always talk about this. It's the depression that artists go through. That, you know, an artist will take perfect divine vision and put it into form, and it's never good enough. It always comes up short. See, we're trying to complete ourselves in a dimension of reality that is dualistic, which means nothing is whole, everything is in half. So by trying to complete ourselves in this energy field, we get sucked into, you know, this psychological sand trap, you know, where the minute you get what you think you want, you become rapidly dissatisfied and you want more. Or you get what you want and you live in chronic anxiety for fear of losing that which you have that you think is making you happy. And or the other way is that we live in continuous frustration thinking that if I could just have that, then I would be happy. So I think the cosmic April Fool is that, you know, we're looking in the wrong place. You know, that there is this innate drive in all of us that we want to be whole, we want to be complete. And the forces that are keeping us attached to this energy field are our biggest obstruction. But the other thing is like we notice, is we really don't have good leadership with regard to, you know, what is it that I'm trying to do and what is it going to look like when I'm actually doing it? You know, because our religions have deteriorated into, like we said in the, you know, in the beginning, they're belief systems now. They're under the heading of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. It's not, we don't get the physics of spirituality. We don't have good leadership with regard to that we're actually trying to separate from a resource of energy that is limiting. And, you know, join or rejoin or reconnect or relink with a resource that will give us a better return. And of course, you know, I mean, our heads are just muddled with all of this imagery, you know, like we've said in the opening, this concept of God as a person, this cosmic puppeteer, this all-knowing, all-loving, supreme being, that is watching over us, monitoring and punishing and rewarding our conduct. Well, that isn't really the physics of spirituality. That isn't how it works. That isn't how it plays out. And, you know, of course, the institutions that have taken over our religions, you know, they continue to, you know, support this folly. And, you know, again, to me, I look at that as, you know, this is the ultimate, you know, prank. This is the ultimate, you know, April Fool. And seems like collectively we've all kind of bought into that.
I've heard an expression before. I want to get your take on this. And that is, man is God playing the fool. What do you think about that?
Well, that sounds like something that Ralph Waldo Emerson would have said, for sure. Oh, absolutely. You know, that was their whole premise, you know, that in the beginning, man or humanity was divided into men or individuals as the hand is divided into fingers. You know, that this concept of the unified field, this concept of an absolute, is something that is supported by most of our religions. In fact, you know, the Buddhists say the same thing in a very similar way when they talk about the outside world being Maya, illusion. Now, of course, the interpretation of the word Maya isn't that the physical world isn't real. The illusion is that it's separate from this unified field. And of course, the intention of these disciplines was to educate people in how to separate from this Maya, this illusion of duality, and connect to the absolute, which actually creates a completely different return. It changes the perception. It changes the metal of an individual. But it's not magic, and it's not something that you just turn inward. You know, it is physics. You have to rebirth your body in it. You have to resonate to the frequencies of these other dimensions of reality. And that's where all of this cultivation that we talk about comes into place.
It seems like we can be our own fools. Like for example, like what you say, we're substituting, you know, something that's not pure, powerful, and sacred for something else. You know what I mean? Like we're fooling ourselves, I guess. So this could be a great day for all of us to really sit back and say, what am I doing? Am I really on the right path? Am I fooling myself?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the term in yoga, which would be satya, truthfulness, you know, I mean, ignorance, avidya is, you know, where we're drawing from the wrong energy field, but we think we're drawing from the right energy field. And I think, you know, even the phrase that von Goethe used, you know, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they're free, which is, you know, it's kind of like the way we're socialized. You know, I mean, we have such a secular, such a materialistic value system, you know, and even say, for example, you know, our spiritual holidays, you know, they're mostly are celebrated on a very secular level, as opposed to, you know, like what we talk about, pray on prana, you know, indulge yourself in the life force. You know, these religious feasts, you know, which we'll probably talk about next week when we talk about Easter. you know, and how we just don't get it. And so as a result, you know, I mean, we indulge ourselves in food. But the underlying dynamic of the whole thing is that we are all seeking union. You know, we all have desire. And what it is that we desire is going to really determine our outcome. And so those are some of the key things that we really try and teach people. You know, because a lot of people are trying to stop desire. You know, and the physics tells us matter can't be created nor destroyed, only changed. So we all come in with desire. We all have a Mars. We all have a Venus. We all have a Pluto. And, you know, we have this, you know, we're all codependent. We're all in need. And what we have to do is we have to recognize that the patterning, the programming that we have is keeping us connected to a resource of energy that is limiting. You know, we're born in the realms of suffering and decay. And what we have to do is separate from our attachment to that. And I think that's where the April Fool comes in, is that we're embroiled in it, and yet we don't realize that, you know, what we're drawing off of is contributing to our demise.
You think that's why there's a lot of frustration out there with people and anxiety, if you will, because deep down inside, we do want to become whole. We want to be able to have this relationship with a divinity, whether they consciously are aware of it or not. Do you think it's, like you would say, subconscious or unconscious or karmic? Would that explain the frustrations that people go through day to day?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I mean, we're collectively cycling through the guilt, the shame, the anger, the resentment, the blame, the emptiness, and the boredom of trying to complete ourselves in a resource that is limiting. It's dualistic. It's like we say, I mean, mathematically, if you were to mark two points and the goal of life was to go from point A to point B, and you said you can make as many moves as you want, but you can only go one half the distance with each move, we become rapidly close, infinitely close, and then frustrated as all get out. Because you're never going to reach point B. And that becomes, you know, like I said, it deteriorates into greed, the nature of greed. And the solution is found in recognizing that nothing manifests whole. That in order for something to manifest, it has to split from this unified state, manifest in half, and then leave behind the complementary unmanifested other part. So there's your trinity, which is the underpinnings of most of our religions, that they use the multidimensional reality system. In fact, this morning I was just reviewing this with one of my students in a session, you know, and we were talking about the fall from Eden in the Bible, how it explained it perfectly. You know, if they ate from the tree of life, they were in the realms of paradise. If they ate from the tree of knowledge or the tree of good and evil, then they were, you know, banished from Eden. And it was one bite of an apple from one of those trees and they were banished. You know, and of course, a lot of us interpret that story as punishment for disobedience to this person we call God. When in fact, it's just basic, simple physics. It's like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. You know, so we come in with this original sin. We come in with this pattern, and we look for food, mother, and approval. We look for particles or waves for validation. That's the pull. You know, that's why the concept in the books, the devil can tempt. You know, the concept of you know, the earth, the forces of the earth have all the leverage. Because we have this pattern. But once we refine ourselves, you know, it's kind of like we're carbon steel and the outside world is a magnet. So a big part of your, you know, your metaphysical or your mystical system is refining the mind-body complex. So you change that carbon steel to a non-magnetic stainless steel, then the separation is possible. You know, and that's what, like what we say. I mean, it's not abstaining. It's a substitution.
Well, like anything, you know, I'll wait and ask you that question. So, you know what? Let's pause for a moment to hear a word from our sponsors. So, listeners, we will be back in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos. A practice in open forum designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of it.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Prayan prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private sessions. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I kind of had a question or comment right before the break, and that was, you know, like when they have those 12-step programs and the only way for, I should say the first step towards any type of healing is to realize that you have the problem. Is that kind of like what humanity should be doing is understanding and realizing that, you know, I don't have this connection and I can cure my frustrations and anxiety if I just realize that my problem is that I want to be whole with my divinity.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, there comes like kind of like the second layer of the April Fool, you know, is this whole celebrity pseudo-spiritual stuff that's out there, these self-made systems that are telling us we don't have to do anything, you know, which are even more problematic than, you know, the simple fact that our religions have failed so bad. So again, we're trying to do something in a resource of energy that it isn't possible, and we don't have leadership in how to get out of it. And like you said, you know, if you don't know you have a problem, then you're not seeking any kind of solution. But, you know, that's where we're kind of like the voice in the wilderness, you know, we're yelling out, you know, you got to get off the grid. You got to get out of here because it's going down.
So as you were saying that, I was thinking that, you know, we don't want to be the fools and have somebody tell us that, oh, all you have to do is look into my eyes and you know, you can, you know, take part of my energy and let me help you lift you to another level of consciousness, when actually it's us that have to go through this quest ourselves. I mean, nobody can do it for us. Would that be like the labors of Hercules?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, that, and the, again, those are all the shams and delusions that are out there that have somehow been accepted as, you know, sound truths, that being spiritual is easy, you know, being religious is hard. And the labors of Hercules, they're not easy. But if you recognize that if you have good training, then it becomes more of an adventure than a hardship. But we definitely have to separate from our attachment to the outside world. I mean, that's written right in the Bible. It's not something like, you know, we figured that out and we're going to add it in. I mean, this was what the instruction has always been, that you had to renounce the world. Like Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. What does it profit a human to gain the whole world but lose your soul? What we have to do is assign meaning to these phrases. And that's what I think we do with our programs. We're actually teaching people how to connect to this resource. Yeah, it's invisible, it's intangible, but it's real. You need a certain element of faith, you know, but your belief comes when you make the connection. When all of a sudden your sense of well-being is totally established based on what you really do need. You know, when the concept of God goes from this cosmic puppeteer, this astral image, to the force right now that is supporting your life, then it has pragmatic application. When you're now using what you really do need, your number one need, to validate yourself, then matter and mind come together with new information. But something magical happens to the human being. You know, this thing called internal support, the physics of spirituality, like attracts like. We become divine. We become a whole person.
I was thinking about watching a hockey game last night, and of course the commercials have to come on, and you watch these commercials, and I was just thinking that, you know, in us as a collective, we have to try not to be fooled by these advertisements that come up. I mean, these marketing people are so good at what they do, but isn't that what they do to us? They fool us into thinking that we want to have that beer because it's sexy and whatever, and we got to have the new burger that's out and things like that. So we have to be aware all the time that we're being fooled or trying to be fooled almost in every aspect of our awareness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but you really cross-examine it. Any commercial that's out there is targeting infantile defense mechanisms. I mean, it's really going to come down to my need for approval, my need to be desirable. And then, of course, you know, they prey on the simple fact that we are a population of humans in the larvae state, that we are controlled by these fears. We're controlled by that infantile defense mechanism, that pattern that we come in with. And a big part of what we're teaching people is that you don't have to be controlled by that, but you have to learn how to separate from it. And the only way to separate from that is you have to connect to a different resource. Because, again, we all have desire. We all have needs. But when you're substituting one unnecessary dependency for another unnecessary dependency for another unnecessary dependency, it's like changing seats on the Titanic. You may have a more comfortable seat, you may have a better view, but you're on a sinking ship. Now, the whole intention of union with the divine is that now you get off of the grid, you get off of the sinking ship, you get out of this limiting resource. And then, of course, the benefits will start to reveal themselves. because you have internal support. Matter and mind now come together with new information. Your sense of self will start to transcend the limits of just seeing yourself as a separate entity.
So once we have the realization that, you know, we're trying to be tricked and fooled into believing these things can make us look younger, feel better, you know, be more sexy, we have to just wash that all away and just realize that's like not even the point of this lifetime. Our lifetime is to really get this connection, and not only get it, but feel this connection every waking moment of our lives.
Yeah, and then become a whole person. You know, for most of us, that's what it is. I mean, everything we know, all we know is how to gratify desire. But one of the things that we always talk about is that there is a difference when you desire particles, that you will be of this lower animal nature. Your mind will remain small. Your feelings will be reduced to these insatiable cravings. If you desire waves, you will be of an equally low human nature, but your mind will remain small. Your feelings will be reduced to these insatiable cravings. But if you desire the void or the nothing, if you desire the divine, then your mind will start to expand. Your identity will transcend the limits of your body. You will start to understand what the Bible says when it says, be still and know that I am God. You know, very powerful statement. But also, you know, it's an incredible experience when you're able to actualize it. And not just intellectualize it. The whole thing of, like we talked last week, you know, Ben Franklin said, well done is better than well said. And, of course, it was Lao Tzu said that the way to do is to be. Because we can't think that we're spiritual. You have to become spiritual. And in order to become spiritual, you have to desire spirit, which means you have to desire the void or the nothing. You have to feel connected to that. But when we do that, that's when you have yoga. That's the union that they're talking about. And actually, that's what religion, the word relink, really meant. And hopefully at one time, the institutions were providing human beings with these capabilities.
Well, this has been a great show today, Swami, but I think it's time for us to start closing down the program today. So in closing, I would invite you listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow us on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. And also available to you listeners are the online classes that you can access through the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Just click on the link, online class, and that will direct you to PowHow, and then there you can select the classes of your choice. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming, because we do enjoy hearing from you. And be sure to tune in next week. We will explore the Easter myth. So, Swami, any final thoughts about today's show or next week?
Well, what I would like to say is that I did get those videos for the Spiritual Advance Retreat in Costa Rica done, and they are now available online for anybody that might be interested in that information. And again, I would like to invite people to, you know, join us and start to maybe get involved in some of the work that we're doing here and experience some of the benefits of these programs. Mm-hmm. And probably wish everybody a good day, and don't take any wooden nickels. And with that, wish everybody, you know, a happy April Fool's. Namaste.
Well, thank you for that. And listeners, if anybody tries to prank you after 12 o'clock, the rule is they are the fool, so be careful about that. So thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.